Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Reeves to the edge of the box, and Taylor is quite deep. Taylor thinking about a shot, looking for a chip ball forward. Ball. It's a lovely ball to Dixdale on the box. Dixdale!
Yeah! Anthony Dixdale
scores his first Charlton goal. And what a finish by the youngster.
Oh.
Of all players arriving in the penalty area, a great first touch and a superb finish past Anik, and Charlton have the lead.
I'm going to send my apologies to Anthony Dixdale, because when that ball was chipped across by Lyle Taylor, it was heading towards both Aribo and Anthony Dixdale. Aribo realised he couldn't get there. It dropped to the Charlton right back, and just for a split second he thought, oh, if only it could have been Joe Aribo. But Anthony Dixdale finished with his right foot with absolute quality, and across the right hand side, back across Alnwick, who had no chance in keeping it out. Charlton take the lead.
Breeze to take the corner, swings it in, it's a decent looking delivery. Aribo jumps,
yes!
Aribo scores!
Oh yeah!
Joe Aribo gets to the ball, it's a free header for the Charlton youngster. He just guides it past, I think it was Morris on the line. It was Hamill, in fact, he just couldn't keep it out. And Charlton have their important second goal.
Well, for all the huff and puff that's gone over the last few minutes, and Charlton worried about the formation change and not picking men up, the simplest of corners into the edge of the six-yard box. Nobody, and I mean nobody, followed Joe Aribo into the edge of that six-yard box, and he had a free header and planted it past Anik, who could nowhere near it. And as you say, Hamill made a vain attempt to keep it out. There was no way he was getting in that, and that could be a crucial second goal.
Taylor, reverse ball, looking towards the way. Oh, Aribo wasn't expecting it. Probably was there. Good challenge from Reeves, and now Aribo brings it forward. Aribo, ball to a Fender Cannon, it's offside.
Oh, yeah!
With the finish.
Oh, that's quality.
Oh, what a finish it was. Great football from Charlton. Aribo with a superb assist, and Igor Fetekele with a lovely, deft little touch past the goalkeeper, and Charlton make it free.
Well, from start to finish, from the Naby Sarr ball into Lyle Taylor, from Lyle Taylor's control and crossfield ball into the middle, Reeves challenged to keep the ball alive. Joe Aribo picked it up, teased the Scunthorpe defence. Igor Fetekele on the run, timed it perfectly, and a lovely cushion ball from Joe Aribo to pick him out, and he just poked it past the advancing Anik. That is a quality goal from start to finish, and Charlton now, you'd feel, have the game in the bag.
As Lyle Taylor's the only man over this.
Is he going for this?
Taylor, three-man wall. Taylor
he
goes
for it.
It's that's a great goal! Lyle Taylor with the strike that the goalkeeper could do nothing about. Diving to his left, beating him for pace and power. What a strike from Lyle Taylor.
Oh,
and Charlton have
word.
Their ball.
Well, you have to see that to believe it. You just, he was shaping up to have the go. You'd think Anik would be aware that this was coming, but even if he was, there was nothing he could do about it. A right foot free kick. That wasn't just chipped into the left-hand corner. That was smacked into the top left-hand.
What a strike that is.
Edge of the put of the goal, and there was nothing the keeper could do about it. What a goal. This goal kick is the end of the proceedings here at the Valley this afternoon. An absolute goal fest for the Addicts.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me in the studio here at the Valley as we get ready to look back at that win over Scunthorpe on Easter Monday and ahead, of course, to the Saturday's trip to Gillingham is Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, very well.
Have you had a nice few days.
It's been all right, yeah. Still thinking about that free kick.
Oh, yeah, I am as well. Oh, get me juices flowing once more. And joining the pair of us in the studio here at the Valley is Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
I'm good, mate, yeah.
Yeah, as how are your juices?
My juices are amazing from that touch.
From
Lyle Taylor, not from yeah. Tom. Yeah. That's another touch. I was petrified. That touch in the box from Lyle Taylor when he picked it up there. It was like Berbatov style. So
lovely stuff. So on tonight's show, we are of course going to talk about that win over Scunthorpe, and we're going to hear Lee Bayer's reaction to it. We've also got Richard Corley, who joined us on the phone earlier, the South London Press sports editor, to let us know about the Lee Bayer contract situation, because it's getting a little bit interesting, isn't it? And Richard's got some interesting quotes from Bayer in the paper on Friday, so worth listening to that. We're going to hear from Anthony Dicksteel. We got his first Charlton goal against Scunny on Monday. And then, of course, we'll turn our attention to Saturday's trip to Gillingham in the red-hot Kent derby, the game that undoubtedly Charlton fans all over the world look for, because we're playing a team that you forget exists until we actually have to play them, or you're going down the A2 or something, Gillingham. Right, Tom, Easter Monday. The heartbreak. I mean, we didn't do a show over the Easter weekend because we never do, but so we haven't really reacted to that defeat at Oxford, which was heartbreaking. It was not our worst performance, I think, by any stretch of the imagination. We had chances, but it was a kick in the stomach because we lost, and that was our top two hopes over. So to return with that four-goal haul on Monday was the fillip that we all needed.
Yeah, and a massive credit to the team for bouncing back in that way, because you're right, it was... Obviously, Bielik's had his fair share of literal smashes in the nuts over the last few weeks. And that's how it felt on Friday. We all went there, and I think me and Nath said on last week's show, we had a feeling that was going to be our toughest game of the run-in, and that's how it proved. So, you know, you come off that, top two looks pretty much impossible. Even Bowyer, who's the most positive person around, is saying we're not going to make that top two. So you go, right, well, how are they going to react? How are they going to approach these final three games? And the start of that game, I said it on Twitter at the game, it was weird because no one seemed to be paying that much attention to the game. The sun was out, everyone was having a lovely time, but no one was really concentrating on the football, and there wasn't much really to get us that excited. And the goal in the first half, I thought, might wake people up, and that didn't really. But then the second half, we really kicked into gear. Scunthorpe weren't much opposition, but we just still deserve credit for putting that second half performance on, blew him out the water, and as you say, just really good way to bounce back from a disappointing Friday.
Yeah, it did have a weird feel of like a pre-season friendly throughout the game, really, until perhaps we got those three goals in 9 minutes in the second half. But I mean, a great way for Anthony Dicksteel to open his account for the club, Nathan, and a brilliant vision from Lyle Taylor. But a lot of people have said, like, you see Dicksteel there, you don't really know what to expect. Well, it turns out what you can expect is a lovely little finish into the back of the net.
Yeah, no, it was a good little finish for Anthony, and I think Bowie's been sort of drilling into him on these final boys and product in the box, and his crossing has become better because that has been his downfall. But when the ball did fall to him, I thought he was going to square it. And he's obviously gone across the gaper, and it was a decent little finish. But obviously delighted for him, because I think he played really well on Monday. Sometimes he makes me nervous in terms of his positional play at right back, but I think he's probably up there for, obviously apart from Lyle, was one of our better players on the pitch. So yeah, delighted for him, and he's going to have a little bit of a stint now with Solly being banned, so can only stand him in good stead.
Well, yeah, it's a chance for him to really stake his claim for that position in the playoffs. I mean, Solly is not going to be back until the second leg of the playoffs, but if Dick still can play well, you know, scoring a goal helps, but get forward well as defending, I mean, he's going to have a real chance now. I mean, Scunny did have a couple of openings. Mm-hmm. It's easy to forget that one that Funzo Ojo missed right on the stroke of half time that he really should have done better with. But as soon as we got that second, the floodgates were wide open. It's like the Thames Barrier.
Yeah, I think not just through that first half, and obviously the second half, once the game was gone, even they had some gilt-edged chances. And on another day, if they were a team who were a little bit higher up or a little bit in more confidence, they could have easily scored three or four themselves. And part of that is down to our defending. Part of that is down to a bit of luck as well. And the chances towards the end, obviously, we were comfortably in front anyway. But as I say, going into half time, it didn't really feel like a game that actually meant anything. But then we came out second half. We looked more lively, as you say, got that second goal, and then very quickly killed the game off with two more, which yeah, those last two were just a very, very high quality.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we know that Uribe got the header, a free header, not the best defending, but you have to be there to score it. But he was part in Igor's goal, the third goal. Really, it was one of those moments like, wow, that is a genuine moment of quality, the run, the ball through, and then the finish as well, Dave.
Yeah, no, it was obviously, I think they lost the ball quite high up, didn't they? And then Uribe's run, and the key for it is obviously when he's rolled the ball with his left, it shifted the defender to move his movement, and he's obviously slid it in straight away, and the defender's out of the game, as you can obviously see by the ball. But reminded me a lot like the Eagles goal against Luton. Same, similar, you know, sort of one on one left foot. But I was saying off air just now, I went absolutely ballistic when Igor scored, because I think he's done so well to come back, and you can see gradually he's getting back to his best now, and you can see him getting sharper and sharper. But great little finish. But we knew that's what Igor could do. We've always said on the show, you know, he needed games, and he's getting that now. And it was a straight shootout between him and Josh Parker, which isn't that obvious who's winning it at the moment. But no, he's done, when he's been called upon, he's done well. And it's not only his finishing with Igor, it's his work rate, and he's hustling and he's tarrying. So it's all good.
Straight shootout, but it seems to be a shotgun versus a water pistol at the moment. Josh Parker, I mean, he's not had a run of games, is the only thing he can say. But I guess, yeah, Igor's really taken his chance. I did wonder whether we were ever going to see that Igor Vetekeli again, Tom. But I mean, Nathan said we've always said it. I'm not sure I was always sure he was going to come back, and I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and again, I referenced that on
last week's show and said, you know, I think there was a week, maybe a month or 6 weeks ago, where I said I thought I was seeing it, and you weren't sure, and I'm sure you weren't alone. But every week that's gone on over those 6 weeks, he's definitely improved. His confidence is coming back, and like you've both said there, his run of games has helped. And we're never really going to be able to compare him and Josh Parker, purely because it's not fair, because Josh Parker hasn't had the games. But when Igor has come in, what he has done is show that he deserves another chance. Even if he didn't score straight away, he was showing the effort and the commitment. And when Parker's come in for those little cameos, we just haven't quite seen that. I still don't think Igor is definitely back to where he was, but you can see signs that player still exists. And coming off such a tough injury to recover from, I think that's very positive. And I just hope he can continue that for the next, hopefully, five games. And then I'd like to think he was rewarded with another opportunity with a contract next year.
Now, Lyle Taylor's 23rd goal of the season, arguably his best, Nath, that free kick. I mean, it was from a difficult angle, but it gave the goalkeeper absolutely no chance.
No, I think you should ask the PFL or the other players, wouldn't you? But I had to get that in there. No, I think that was, to be fair, when he stepped up, I was saying to the lads around me, say, I'd probably chip it back stick. Just dink it to Paddy or something. But like, when it went in, it was just unreal. Like, you could have had, it was just right in a postage stamp, wasn't it? And like, great finish. And I think Lyle's all-round play was really good on Saturday. I mean, his build-up play, I mean, I saw on the forum people were getting a bit, not fed up, but questioning, you know, he's sort of turning up in different positions. But Bowie has always said to his strikers, don't get marked. And that's what, he's not just going to stay centre with a goal, because it's not Lyle Taylor. And I think it's all of his all-round plays improving. Like, look at the assist for Anthony. But yeah, I mean, that goal was, I can't think of many better than that he's done for us.
Yeah. So, right. So we know now top two is impossible, I think, but barring an interesting run of results, which would probably involve us turning over, what, a 7 or 8 goal difference deficit with Barnsley, them losing both of their games, us winning both, Sunderland drawing against each other, and Portsmouth drawing against each other before losing their other. So it's not going to happen, okay? I mean, the other teams being in such good form, in a way, has probably, for me, taken the edge off that Oxford defeat, because even if we had won that, we'd still be behind and we'd still be asking a lot. But now, we know we're going into the playoffs now, currently on the back of a 16-game unbeaten run at home. Only lost 2 games in 2019. We're not conceding too many goals at the moment. We're scoring. Well, now we've, you know, Bayer said all season we're going to knock a few goals past the team, and we've finally done that with Scunthorpe. We are hitting form at the right time. We've got an Igor Vetekele who's hitting form at the right time. We said it last season, of course. We made a late dash for the playoffs, which included winning 6 of our last 10. But going into these games in form, which is why the next two are so important, could be massive for us.
Yeah, I think the problem last year was Boya came in and gave everybody such a lift and drove everyone and said, look, this is where we are now. We're going to get to the playoffs. We can get to the playoffs. By the time we actually got there, that had been so much the aim. I think they were all just absolutely shattered, like emotionally and physically. I think this year, you're right, we're hitting form at the right time. And people are saying, you know, should we push for third? Should we be resting players? Whatever. Jick Steele said it after the game on Saturday. We win all our games. We aim to do that and we just see where the chips fall and we see where we end up. And that's the most important thing. And if we get third and we get the home tie second, then brilliant. But let's not try and engineer anything. Let's just try and do what we can. Personally, talking about some of the injuries, which we'll hear about later, I think rest players, because we need players in the right shape going into those two definite playoff games that we're going to have, maybe three. So, yeah, I think we're hitting form at the right time, and the players don't look sapped of energy like they have done, or they did, sorry, at the similar stage last season.
And you look at the front line as well that we had going into that playoff game. Yeah. It was a Jose and McGuinness up top. Now, you know, no disrespect to those two, but you'd much rather Taylor and Vetekele scoring goals, and that could be important as well. I mean, Nath, you mentioned it there, the EFL team of the year came out a couple of weeks ago or last week, and there was no Charlton players involved. Now, the PFA team of the year, which is different because this is actually chosen by the players who play in League One, it's come out today or yesterday with no Charlton players involved. Richard Workman sent me a brilliant tweet yesterday saying that the fans, the players should really use this as a motivation, because this is their fellow League One players saying that they don't think Charlton have quite got players as good as Barnsley, as Luton, as whoever, Sunderland, whoever had players in there. Mm. Now, I mean, we've proven that we're just as good as any of those sides. We're only a couple of points behind them. It's just the stage of the season we're at means we're not going to catch them. I mean, that's got to be motivation. They don't think you're as good as them.
Yeah, and I think I said something on Twitter when the EFL one came out, and I said I wasn't really that bothered, because I just think if we just quietly go about our business and end up going up, I think it'd be quite funny, really, for none of our players to be that. And so, yeah, I think if I was some of the Charlton players, I'd probably be saying, you know what, we don't really care. But yeah, if they don't think we're any of us are in the 11, then that's their opinion, that's fine, but we'll just show them. I mean, with, you know, Lyle Taylor not being in the PFA one, to me that probably more smacks of all the antics and that Lyle winding the centre halves up more than anything. I think that's probably more of the case. But yeah, I'd definitely use it as an inspiration, especially some. Listen, I'm not saying we're not all biased enough to say, oh, it should be a Charlton 11, but you could probably say two of our 11 should be in that. I'd say Taylor's obviously a must in there, and I'd probably say Josh Cullen or maybe even Christian. But listen, it is what it is, but I don't think they'll be bothered. But yeah, if they use it as a motivation, for sure, I think.
I think Lyle Taylor was bothered. He was tweeting about tweeted about the EFL one. I'm not sure if he tweeted about the PFA one, but
because he's probably wind them all up.
Now we're looking at that race for the top two. So we're on 82. Sunderland and Portsmouth on 84 and 86, both with a game in hand. Barnsley on 88. So if we were to win both of our two games, we'd be on the same points as Barnsley if they lost both their two games. And we're currently, 14 behind them in a goal difference. So we need some ridiculous results. So it's not going to happen. But you're looking at those teams. Now, whoever out of Barnsley, Portsmouth and Sunderland end up finished fourth, which is where we're likely to play in the semi-final, because we're probably going to finish fifth. Unless Sunderland lose to Portsmouth and then lose again. Whoever that is going to be really disappointed that they didn't get into the top two. Now, we saw with Shrewsbury last year, they had that same disappointment having been up there for so long, but they still beat us. They were still able to recover from that. Can we use that in any way to our advantage if a team's missed out by a slender margin towards the end of the season?
We definitely can, and it's definitely going to help. But I think most importantly is we have to get our own mentality right. And like I say, I think at the end of last season, we were knackered. The last game of the season against Rochdale, obviously, we didn't really show up there either. And that sort of performance carried through into the Shrewsbury games as well, although arguably at their place, we were the better side for the first half at least. But yes, I think out of the four mentalities of the teams that are in the playoffs, I mean, unless Coventry or Peterborough sneak in their last day, you'd think we're going in there with the most positive mindset out of all four of them. So, the guy said who tweeted in, they're gonna fear us. Other teams are gonna fear us because we're starting to smash teams apart now. We're scoring a lot of goals. We've got players who are certainly in the case of Lyle Taylor, he's gonna know about those two teams. He is gonna take that personally, and he's gonna use that. And a lot of the time, we've seen him in particular channel his frustration or his anger in the right way, occasionally the wrong way, but more often than not, he channels it into good performances. And we've got such a good squad there, such a good squad. And I don't see why we should fear any of those teams. We arguably could have got more points out of Sunderland this season. Physically couldn't have got more points out of Portsmouth, I don't think. Doncaster, obviously, yes, we got beaten in their place, but we did fine over here.
Two of their places, last minute equaliser.
Of course, yeah. So, like I say, there's no one really to fear as far as I'm concerned. So, we're the team in form, we're the team to be feared, and we just got to, as I say, see where the chips fall.
Impossible to pick an opponent you'd like to see in the semi-finals, Nath, out of those three that are above us, because we'll likely end up playing one out of Barnsley, Portsmouth and Sunderland.
I'd like to avoid Sunderland just for the travel, to be honest. Pompey, I think we've done the double over them. But I think, like the point you said earlier about it, it's going to be key on their mental toughness, because if you drop out of that top two, it's going to be hard for them to pick themselves up to know that they've got to go again. But yeah, I'd rather avoid Sunderland in the semis and probably take Pompey or Barnsley in the semis. But again, I just worry if we get them in the final, Sunderland. I can just see, I don't want fate happening and then we lose 7-6 on the penalties or something. But yeah, just a distance, I'd say Sunderland I'd like to avoid.
Right, Lee Bowyer came in to speak to Terry Smith after the win here on Easter Monday against Scunthorpe United, and he said that the result was the best way to react after the defeat on Good Friday over at Oxford.
Just shows the character, because we was all low Friday. And we was planned to come in on Saturday. I made a decision that, you know what, they need to just be around their families, and that's the first time when we've gone like a Saturday, Tuesday like we have now, that I've given them the next day off, first time all season. But I thought they just need to be around their families now. They're going to feel down. I don't want them coming in Saturday and they're still thinking about Friday's result, and that's done. Second place is not possible now, so now we have to step on, and now we've got three games left, and now we approach this, win them three games. So yeah, we changed things around a little bit this last couple of days, but the performance, their character, it just shows the commitment that they're giving everything, you know. I'm over the moon with the outcome of today.
First 20 minutes, we were clearly the better side. Having trouble breaking down a Scunthorpe side that are battling for their lives at the bottom. When that ball was chipped across from Lyle Taylor and it was landing on Anthony's right foot, did you think, could it be somebody else before he dispatched it?
Yeah, his first touch wasn't bad, but I think what helps is that he's a midfielder as well. So technically, he's good. He knows it across the goal, you know. But yeah, I thought he took it very well to make the run as well. Like, he came to feet, then he got in behind Lowell. Great vision, great pass, great way to pass. So yeah, but I'm happy for Anthony because he works hard. You know, he's a great lad. So nice. So he deserved that today.
Yeah, standing first half, and be difficult to see anybody else getting man of the match today. Although three other people stepped up and to cause some headaches for that, and we needed that second goal because Scunthorpe, as I said, battling for their lives, a few chances, a few near misses. So we needed the second goal comfort. And Joe Rebo popping up, as I know that you've been asking him to do regular enough, bagging a decent header. Albeit a free one, but still had to dispatch it.
Yeah, it's funny. We was only talking about it the other day and saying against Oxford, I think we had like 14 corners or something. And they have one and score. So we was only talking about it the other day. So it's about time we scored another one from set play, because Jacko and Marsh, they work hard on them. And I'm pleased. Joe's got another one. So that's good for him. And that's all we want, is people having confidence going into these last few games.
The third goal, when it came, superb footballing move from start to finish. And there we saw sliding in. Lyle Taylor held it up well. Ball inside needed to be kept alive, and Johnny Williams, Ben Rees did that. And Joe Rebo sliding in Igor for a classic finish. I mean, typical Igor finish. Was it a payoff that, because there must have been that you must have felt like, should I risk him, shouldn't I, after not appearing against Oxford?
I don't think it was really a risk. The physio said he was fit. He trained yesterday fully. He's been training since Oxford and doing stuff outside and ticking all the boxes, what he needs to do, sprints. And so he was fine. So for me, it's not really a risk. The most important thing for me was to get him to get 60, 70 minutes into him, because if not, then it would have been like 2 weeks before he plays again. And then we've worked so hard, everybody at the club has worked so hard to get his fitness to where he is. He has, he's worked so hard. And it'd be a shame to then leave it 2 weeks before he plays, and then he might take that game and then maybe another game, and then too many games have gone by without him getting his fitness back. So, yeah, for me, it was the right decision to play him, and he got rewarded for it. You know, he worked hard, and then he got his goal.
And you got the comfort of taking him off seeing a emphatic finish to an emphatic victory with Lyle Taylor smashing that one into the top corner. There's probably only Lyle Taylor's going to do that, isn't he?
Yeah. Funny enough as well, once it was free and then they was walking back, and I said to Lyle, look, there's one here for you. And then he gets a free kick and puts it in the top corner like that. It's unreal. Like, there's not many players in this division that can do that. And we're very fortunate to have him, because not just his finishing, his work rate is unreal. I'll give you an example. The most pleasing thing for me, everyone looks at what he does up the top of the pitch. But for me, I see Ben Pureton overlapping Johnny Williams, and then I see Lowell sprinting back to get in the left-back position because them two are out of position. I hate that side of the game. And I think he was outstanding. He has been outstanding all season. And I think he's got to be one of the purchases of the season in my eyes.
But possibly the moment of the game, not just the 4-0 victory, but Jake Foster-Kesty coming on. I know he's had his under 23 minutes, but just coming on for those last 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, must have been a great fillip for everybody at the club, not just Jake.
Yeah, because it's funny how football works sometimes. Jake was having some food with Chris Solly after training today. They went in training this morning. Then Christian turned up today, and 20 past one, he says his shoulder's really hurting and he can't play. The doctor was doing some work on it because he fell funny yesterday. And then all of a sudden, you're like, okay, so Christian's out. Should we put someone on the bench now? They've all trained. I'm happy with the bench I've got without bringing someone else in. But then I thought, you know, like, Jake's worked so hard to get to this stage now. Is he ready? No, he's not. But to just bring him into that environment again and be around the lads and on match day and the crowd, you know, like cheering him when he's going back, it's a reward for the hard work that he's done since pre-season. So, and he deserves it. And if we can just get him a few more games under his belt and get his sharpness up, then and he'll be training hard every day like he does with us. So, and we might need him later on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Switch across to left-hand side, and Perrington's a good one. Bielik looks okay for the time being. Perrington looking to try and look to take on Thompson. Instead goes back inside to Cullen. Needs a little bit of support. He turns, works a bit of spacer across. Cullen, ball into the box, finds Aribo. Aribo! Aribo!
Yeah! One, Joe Aribo!
Joe Aribo with a
superb goal!
Turn inside the penalty area. His shot went across the face of goal. And McGilvery didn't even go for it in the end. It's past him and into the back of the net. And Charlton, just before half-time, had the lead.
No.
So welcome back, it's Charlton Live here on your Thursday evening. The big match preview just heard there from Lee Bowyer after Easter Monday's win over Scunthorpe. Now his contract situation. Interesting, isn't it? Because it's still dragging on. Now, most of you will be listening to this on Friday morning, this podcast, so hopefully Richard will have already published his quotes from Lee Bowyer. But he spoke to Bowyer on Thursday morning over the phone to find out what's going on with his contract situation. Then he joined me on the phone earlier to explain what Bowyer had to say. So Richard Corley from the South London Press joins us now on Charlton Live. Richard, you were able to sit down and speak to Lee Bowyer over the phone earlier today. That's going to be out on Friday morning in the paper, talking about his contract situation. What sort of vibe are you getting from the Charlton manager at the moment?
I think it's fair to say that it's not too impressive that Charlton haven't managed to get this situation resolved. Lee Bowyer didn't bring it up. I just asked him if he was getting frustrated at the situation that, you know, the coaching team and Lee himself obviously are coming towards the closing stages of their contract and nothing has been resolved. And, you know, the message back was that he hadn't heard anything since, I think, he sat down with Levan Baturk. Obviously, we had this incentivised contract offer, which I think was a little bit out of the ordinary. And I think Lee Bowyer wanted a fairly straight, sort of normal managerial contract. It doesn't sound as if that has come back yet. I asked Lee whether he was frustrated. He said the word he would use was that he was a bit disappointed that things hadn't been sorted out sooner. I can only talk externally. From the club. I think it's crazy. Lee Bowyer has been, of the many things that Roland de Châtelet has done, a lot of them have been not particularly well thought through, or they haven't been successful, you know, one of the two. Lee Bowyer is kind of one of the exceptions to that. He's done so well. The fans, you can tell every game I go to, they absolutely love him. And, the players are playing for him and they're playing really good football. So to me, it seems something that should have been sorted out a long time ago. I can't believe it's that Lee Bowyer is making outrageous demands. So it just seems this kind of lack of energy behind anything at Charlton, that it all kind of gets left a little bit last minute. And, I don't know where it quite leaves it, because if you leave Bowyer, do you wait? And if you get to a playoff final and you take Charlton up, could you potentially walk away from that? I don't know. But I just think the club, personally, I think they should have sorted this out, you know, a few weeks back, because they know what Lee Bowyer brings to the table. And, he's done a really, really good job, hasn't he?
Obviously, you've been involved in the game for many, many, many years now. So, have you ever seen a manager who has been doing well having to wait this long for their future to be secured? Surely, in a normal situation, a manager whose pedigree is clearly as good as Bowyer's has been so far would be tied down by now.
Yeah, I can't think of it. Maybe there is something, but I cannot think of a situation where that's happened. Of course, sometimes managers that aren't doing so well, a club might leave it a little bit longer because they're not too sure. You know, you might have like a transfer window where you're thinking, well, we don't want to give him a deal and then we might get rid of him earlier next season. I think that can happen a bit more, but not in this scenario. There was a statistic that went around over the weekend that since he's gone to 3 points per game, Lee Bowyer's got to 100 points quicker than any other Charlton manager since that change of the amount of points you got for a win. Yeah, that's more than Alan Kirbishley, more than Chris Powell, quicker than Alan Kirbishley, quicker than Chris Powell. I just don't quite get it, why, when you've got someone that's been successful, why would you leave them in this situation? I don't necessarily think it helps with negotiating with players. It won't hugely matter maybe with someone like Joe Aribo, who I think will be driven a lot in terms of his sort of decision-making by what division Charlton are in next year. And obviously Patrick Bauer is in probably a similar boat, that Charlton would need to be in the Championship to stand any chance of keeping him. But I just find it very puzzling that they haven't thought that this is something that's quite important to do. And I think, although Lee Bowyer is totally focused on the team, I think as a manager, you kind of probably want to get it nailed down. Obviously there's things that need to be sorted. You know, what the budget would be if you unfortunately worse than League One, what the budget would be if you were in the Championship. But those conversations can be had. It can't be that difficult. But yet there doesn't seem to be any kind of clarity or answers coming back from, at the end of the day, it's Roland de Châtelet, isn't it? Because, although Levan Baturk is over here, I don't think anyone's under any illusion that it's Roland that's going to make the decision and make the decision on what happens.
Do you think there's a danger that Lee Bowyer will make the decision for Roland at the end of the season if it's still not sorted and he might have suitors elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a chance of that. I think with any manager, you become a lot more attractive to other clubs once you have actually got a promotion on board. The flip side of that, of course, is that Lee's done it this season with a smaller budget than other Charlton managers have had since Roland de Châtelet's owned the club. And people would look at the style of football and everything else, and I think they would. I definitely think he would be an attraction. I think if he got the team up, that would be a very interesting scenario, because I think instantly you've got a promotion on your CV. That really does tick a box for a lot of football clubs. Of course, for Lee as well, though, I think he would be torn because, you know, he's built something here. He knows the players. He's got the support of the fans. I don't think he'd want to walk away from it particularly easily. But at the same time, as you say, he could get so disillusioned with the way that it is under de Châtelet. And we've had plenty of other managers that have kind of come in and they've moaned about the way it's all done under him. I think there's got to be a chance. I still think probably this will get resolved and that Lee will be Charlton manager next year. But I just don't see why they've made such heavy work of it. Mm.
Something else that Charlton fans, of course, will be hoping will be resolved by next year is the ongoing takeover saga. In the fans forum minutes that were released today, Livan de Turk did say that he believed that Roland wouldn't own the club at the start of next season. But I mean, we've heard that before, haven't we? Are you hearing anything on the grapevine that suggests we may be nearer a resolution?
No, I haven't. And I mean, the thing is, you know, these updates, they seem to just go around in circles. I mean, we keep hearing the same thing, that there's people waiting to do this, that and whatever. I just don't really buy it. I just think it's a bit laughable, really, that these updates are done. It's supposed to show a communication to the fans. I understand some of this stuff is supposed to be kept confidential, but I mean, I just don't see anything that's really changed with that. You know, the bottom line is that Roland de Châtelet wants a very big sum of money, pretty much what he's ploughed into the club, so that he walks away with no kind of financial hit. And I just don't see that being realistic. I mean, you could make the point that if Charlton go up, that it will make them more attractive, again, on top of already what they are, to potential investors and people that want to own the club. And of course, the danger with that is that you're then only one division away, you know, one promotion away from the Premier League. And who's to say that the owner now doesn't decide that he actually wants an extra X on top of that? So I just don't really think there's anything there. And I think in terms of what's happening, I think we've probably got the same protagonists that have been around for ages. But if they haven't been able to get it over the line in all this time, when you look at the Australians, they've been on the scene for an eternity, or what seems like an eternity, but they've not managed to get the deal done. So I think we are where we're at. But yeah, maybe promotion would potentially shake it up. Maybe if the team doesn't go up, it would shake it up, because, you know, then Roland de Châtelet has got another season of Charlton in League One, and maybe that won't be particularly, you know, appetising to him. So that could potentially change it. But no, I've not heard anything is particularly close. But that's not to say necessarily that I would do.
Yeah. Now, of course, whether there is promotion or not at the end of the season, if Roland is still here, a lot of Charlton fans are worried about a bit of a cliff edge coming up, players out of contract, the manager out of contract. I mean, are we worrying too much about that? Because if you when you look at the number of people currently who would be here next year, and you think about the comments from Steve Gallen in the last fans forum about how they'd have to start looking into League Two for players, I mean, we could be really looking at a team that's going to get decimated and replaced possibly with players who may not quite fit the bill.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's some huge problems there if the team don't go up and if the funding isn't there. There's two factors there, because obviously players can go, but if you keep a budget there, I think with the recruitment, if that is kept up in terms of the budget to a reasonable level, I think you back Lee Bowyer and Steve Gallen to actually bring in the people that they... I mean, their record's been very good so far. But, I mean, you look at it, Pat Bower, for me, has been excellent in the second half of this season, particularly. I think he's He's really growing as a centre-back again, and I think he'll be a huge loss. We all know that Joe Aribo will be a huge loss if he goes on. And that's before you look at other players that are coming out of contract as well. I think there would also be the question mark about what would happen with someone like Lyle Taylor. Would he want another year in League One? You know, he's beginning to get... Is he kind of in his prime now, Lyle? And I would think that he would want to have a go at the Championship. And the other one, funnily enough, that I was thinking about that could potentially get offers from certain places, and maybe not from this country, is someone like Naby Sarr. You know, he's not been in the shop window, really, the last few seasons because he's been overlooked. But now he's come through, played a run of games. You know, he's a ball-playing centre-half, and at times he does obviously get caught in possession. But I think I was watching him the other day and thinking, you just don't know. You know, stranger things have happened with people like Igor coming back and playing well. You just wonder if someone like Naby, who was kind of held up as this, you know, expensive flop, whether even he could be someone that would attract interest in the summer if they don't go up. Because there's no guarantee that Roland de Châtelet doesn't sell. If he's looking to raise money, you know, the players he's got contracted are the likes, the kind of marquee players that he's got are people probably like Naby, probably like a Dylan Phillips or someone like Lyle Taylor. So I do think it's... I do think there's quite a lot of question marks there, and I think there are some notable players coming out of contract. I mean, Patrick Bauer and Joe Aribo will not be particularly easy to replace, will they?
There we go, Richard Corley there with the good news. As always, yeah, I mean, first of all, he's talking about Boyer's contract situation. That's the main reason he came on. It sounds like Boyer disappointed. I mean, and he has every right to be. It's a ridiculous situation that he finds himself in.
Yeah, poor old Rich. We only ever get him on to give us good news, and it's always bad news, isn't it? But yeah, it is frustrating, and we've said it plenty of times. It's ridiculous that he's the one who's having to try and negotiate a new contract when they should have been handing him one on a gold plate like halfway through this season. It was clear the job he was doing. He deserves a new contract. He deserves an improved deal because of the work he's done. And every week, it seems at the moment, some stat comes out about how well he's doing. And this week, it was the 100-point mark in the quickest time. So, yeah, it is frustrating. It sounds like it's moving along. But like I say, it's mad that he's the one who's having to drive that. It's mad that they tried to take the risk with that initial contract in the first place. But now he's told them to kind of bring themselves back to earth and deal with him like with a bit of respect. It sounds like something will happen, and it's clear that Boyer and the rest of his staff want to be here, and that's the important thing. But the fact it's taking so long, I mean, we shouldn't really be surprised, to be honest. Yeah. But it's still so frustrating.
I mean, there were a couple of quotes from Boyer in today's press day which really weren't that enlightening at all, and I think Richard's quotes in the paper tomorrow, so on Friday if you're listening, worth digging those out, are more interesting from what I've heard. But I mean, he has effectively said that nothing's come back since he went back to them to ask for something else. So, I mean, this is disrespectful now. I mean, Roland du Châtelet has been accused, probably quite rightly, of disrespecting the football club for a number of times now. But, you know, no matter how much Boyer loves the club, no matter how much he knows he's done a good job here, how much he's enjoying building something here, if you disrespect him and someone comes in and offers him a better contract or a contract in the first place, he's going to go.
Yeah, and Charlton are only 2% of his time or whatever he said, wasn't he? So once he gets to that 2%, it'll be good. But yeah, it is disrespectful to a job that Bowes and the team have done. But I don't think any of us expect anything else. He's not a football man. He doesn't know anything about football. He's obviously not. He's obviously not at the forefront of his mind. It's like, you know, as Rich said, that it's puzzling to see why you wouldn't tie someone down. I know managers aren't the same commodities as players, but if you're any sort of football club, if you have an outstanding young prospect, you'd tie them down, wouldn't you? Because they'll be an asset to your club. But obviously it's not seen that way, or they've obviously offered him something that's unfamiliar, or whatever the quote was. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, it's madness. But I'm just hoping that, you know, Bowes has said in his presser, didn't he, that, you know, he's just going to wait until the end of the season, he'll sort himself out. And hopefully he has the patience, because I don't think he'll be shy of any suitors, even to an extent of the Championship, especially people who want to build a project there, because I think Bo's more than capable.
Now, of course, Richard also talks about the takeover. We had the fans forum update that came out on Thursday. Again, really nothing that different in there. They suggested the fifth group, the international group, had made some form of progress, which was enough for Sky Sports to run a story saying Charlton imminent sold, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we've all seen this before. Sky Sports obviously haven't been paying quite enough attention. Richard doesn't sound like he thinks there's anything happening soon, nor do I. No. And nor do you, by the looks of it, Tom.
No, and I saw the read the minutes during the day today. Had a few messages from people, mates who don't support Charlton, saying, "Oh, I hear the takeover might be close." I was like, "What? Have you read the minutes or what?" And then saw the Sky story after that, and how they've come up with that conclusion, I'm not sure, because if you look at who's saying it and what they're saying, really, it's nowhere closer. I mean, he says he doesn't expect Roland to be in charge at the start of next season. I don't think we expected him to be charged at the start of this season, and he's done another whole year. So to me, it's complete nonsense. I think there are a couple of people who called Louvren out as being completely incompetent. Obviously, I don't know the guy, and I just have to go off what we read in the minutes, but the fact he's been brought in specifically to handle the takeover, it's been about 45 years and the takeover hasn't happened, suggests to me that there's a level of competence he's not really meeting. So, yeah, I don't think we can read too much into the minutes from the forum. It's good that they keep happening. It's good that we get updates. But it's getting to the point now where those updates are so meaningless, you think, well, we might as well just knock this on the head, because things on the field are good. Let's focus on that. It may be happening in the background. It may not. And we've said it a million times. Until it's on the official site that Roland's left, I'm just not getting my hopes up anymore, because we've been bitten too many times.
Right, something that was on the official site on Easter Monday was goal by Anthony Dicksteel, the Addicts fullback or defensive midfielder turned fullback, got his first Addicts goal, and he said he was absolutely delighted to bag.
Feels amazing. It's like the best feeling ever.
And what was going through your mind when you saw Taylor sort of measuring that chip over the top? Were you just thinking, just got to get on this one?
Yeah, he said it to me. He clipped it. He said it before he passed the ball. He said it like, go, 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 but I didn't get in the first time, but the second time, I just went onto it and took a touch and shot.
Yeah. You score many goals in training? I've seen you have too many chances, really. But
even in training, I don't really score a lot of goals. Sometimes I've got a good day and just score, but it's the first real goal, actually.
And the game itself, obviously a 4-0 comfortable win. Lee Bay was delighted when I just spoke to him. Pretty pleasing result and performance.
Yeah, especially the second half was better. You got more chances, move the ball quick, and just, we're better than the opposition.
Yeah. And are you pleased with your own performance, of course, because you and Chris Solly have sort of been taken over from each other quite a lot recently. So with Solly now banned for four games, I mean, you've got a real chance to make that position your own as we head towards the playoffs as well.
I just have to work hard, play hard, just give everything and just see what happens.
And do you enjoy the competition with Chris Solly? Because obviously he's a big club stalwart here. He's been here for years and years. And does it help you improve yourself as a player, and then you've got to try and keep him out the side?
Yeah, it really helps me. Like, Solly's, we're good with each other. We just keep each other sharp. And I think it's good for the both of us.
And obviously going into the playoffs now, I mean, Charlton's record since the turn of the year really has been spectacular. Only two defeats. Record here is amazing as well. No losses in 16 games, I think. So, I mean, anyone coming here, I guess they're going to be fearing playing Charlton this season.
Yeah, I think they should be fearing us. Every time when we play at home, we should just keep our heads and play like we should play every single game, work hard.
In terms of the sort of playoffs at the moment, how do you kind of look at that? Was it when the top two hopes kind of finished, was that a setback? Because obviously you've kind of bounced straight back from that Oxford loss today, emphatically.
Obviously, we're trying to get to the top two, and we just focus on ourselves now, trying to win every game and see where we finish.
Yeah. Are you pleased with your own progression? Because you've kind of gradually kind of worked your way into the team. It's not necessarily your natural position right back, is it?
Not really, but now I should say, I feel comfortable now. I'm happy with my progression. Just try to do the right things in training and just keep doing extra. So,
Who's been a big sort of help to you in terms of advice and stuff like that? Is there anybody particularly you turn to in the Charlton's?
Probably Lee Boy then. Yeah, Lee Boy.
Okay.
Helping me a lot, especially with my end product.
Yeah.
Because that's not always the best how it should be.
You finished it nicely today. Was there anyone special in the crowd to watch today or anything like that?
No, not really.
There wasn't really, no? Ah, oh, right, okay. But in terms of the goal, how pleasing is it to kind of get... It's a milestone, isn't it?
Yeah.
First one as a professional player.
Yeah, it is. Even I was surprised when it went in, so I was happy I scored. Just didn't know what to do with the celebration.
Yeah. Well, do you reckon you'll have a celebration next time? Now you've got one, there might be a few more following.
Maybe, you know.
Yeah. Do you, in terms of who you fancy in the playoffs, is there anybody particularly you'd like to face of the sort of sides that are up there or not?
No, not really. I think if you just do our thing, I think we should get promoted. It's just about us, not about them.
Mm. The disappointment last season in the playoffs, can that work as a positive that you kind of know the heartache as a group of what it feels like, you know, when you were up at Shrewsbury?
Yeah, it could help. It should help, I think, because last season you don't want that again. You want to go to Wembley and go up, so that's it more.
Yeah. Have you been to Wembley yourself? Have you played any sort of younger levels where you've had a chance to play at Wembley or not?
With the NAC Academy, I played at Wembley against Barcelona, so that was nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what age was that? So what age Barcelona team was that?
On the 19th.
Okay.
Yeah, on the 19th.
Anybody famous from that Barcelona team that's now playing anywhere else?
None that I know of.
No. What was the score?
We won 2-1.
Okay. You didn't score?
Nah.
Okay. So that must be a hell of a highlight when you walk out there. That'd be special to do it again,
yeah,
wouldn't it, in a
yeah,
big
yeah.
one-player final.
Yeah.
So there we go, Anthony Dicksteel there. Pleased as punch with the fact he got his first goal for the Addicts. And of course, he's got that experience of playing at Wembley with the Nike Academy against the under-19 Barcelona side. They won 2-1, so I just wonder now he's got that experience, he'd be desperate to get back then, wouldn't he? I mean, surely if he hadn't played there, he'd still want to go anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I think everyone would want to play at a place like Wembley. And I think we're only one of... only a few teams,
about
haven't we?
About 14 or so.
Yeah,
we
haven't played at the new
Wembley.
So, yeah, it'll be nice. I mean, well, I think we've all been there, haven't we? I mean, I've been there a few times
yeah.
with other teams and stuff. But it'd be nice to see us there. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be a great day
I
if
saw
we
the
do.
Spice Girls there.
You what?
Yeah. Carry on.
I don't think I can. Tom, crack on.
I saw Eminem there. Is that better?
Similar.
Yeah. Bromley, last year? We were there for that.
Bromley. We went there for Bromley, didn't we?
Yeah.
Left that early.
Yeah, watched the Rojo own go.
Right, so Anthony Dixon. I mean, do we think... I mean, some people have questioned Solly a bit more than I would, to be fair. I think people have been a bit harsh on Solly this year. But some people have questioned him, and Dick still at times when he's come in has looked very good. So I mean, he has got a real chance, hasn't he, over this next three games while Solly's still out.
Yeah, and I think he's earned it. I'm starting to see Solly getting towards the latter part of his career and managing that injury. And I can't remember which game it was over this week, but somebody on Five Live was saying fullbacks, when your career starts to deteriorate a fullback, it stands out a lot more because of the amount of work you've got to do. It's like even some of the best players like Gary Neville in that position, when he suddenly went overnight, you could just see it. And Solly's been a great servant to us, but he's had a very difficult injury that he's had to manage. And I do think, you know, the physicality of the league is starting to get to him a little bit, and he can't play week in, week out. Having said that, he's still a very good player on his day, but Dicksteel's come in and performed very well and deserves his chance, and I'd love to see him take it over the next four or five games, because he's another of those young players that, provided we can tie him down to a contract, he'd be someone I'd like to have around for a little bit longer to see what he can do, hopefully, a level above.
Chris Solly has played the second most amount of minutes in our side. The only one who's had more than him is Lyle Taylor. So I think, you know, he's doing well in terms of is standing up to it. But there we go. Anthony Dixon has got his chance now. Solly, of course, got his second red card of the season away at Oxford on Good Friday. Right, Lee Bowyer has got the chance to look ahead now to the Gillingham game. He was first asked about how he hopes the side can attack the end of the season with the form that they have.
Yeah, we've got to win five games. We'll have five games, hopefully. And we have to win them all. If we win them all, then we go up. That's as simple as that. That's how simple football is. But whoever we play is going to be tough. Saturday is going to be tough, you know. Gillingham is a tough place to go. They've got players that can hurt you. I see that... Cookie and Brandon scored against Plymouth, two of our old players, so they'll be wanting to prove a point. So yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Every game from now on in is going to be tough.
Have you seen much of them?
Yeah, I watched them against Plymouth, watched them against us, obviously, when we played them. Because obviously we won and see how we hurt them. So we've got a big fella up front, he's a threat, he scored a lot of goals. So, but again, like, it's not being disrespectful to anybody, but it's if we do the right things and we compete, then we have players that can also hurt them. So that's whoever we play. I believe that we can win every game. I think that the games that we've won, we just played Luton recently, hadn't been beaten I don't know how long, and we were by far better than them. So when we turn up and we do things properly, then we're a tough side to play.
And dare I say, they've developed a knack of producing their best performances against the top sides.
Yes, but it just shows you how tough it is to play against. You know, they've got a bit of everything. They work hard for their manager, and they've got the big fella up front that can hurt you. And obviously Brandon brings them a bit of pace as well. So they've got players that can hurt you in this league. I think anybody can beat anybody on the day. It's so tough, but yeah, I'm confident regarding Saturday. And we have to turn up and be professional and do the right things.
Do you have any injury worries? Christian Bielik, Lewis Page, Jake Forster-Kaski?
Yeah, we've got a few injury worries. So we've got Patrick Bauer. He's got a bit of a sore knee. He took a knock on Saturday. Christian, obviously, with his shoulder. Lyle Taylor. I mean, his groin's tight. Johnny Williams, a bit of a sore knee. Again, took a knock. So, and obviously Pagey and Caskey, they're fine. There's a game here today behind closed doors that they'll be playing in. So, get some more minutes into them too. But yeah, it's got a few little knocks, so it's just been a case of looking at the bigger picture for me.
The players you've mentioned are key players for you. Is what are the chances of any of them playing?
I'll have a discussion with them this morning, and then I'll take matters into my own hands, because they'll all want to play. They want to play every game, and but I won't be silly. If it's going to maybe affect something in the long run, then they won't be playing.
There we go, Lee Bowyer looking ahead to Saturday's trip to Gillingham. Some injury problems he's been talking about. We're in this stage of the season now where it really, really doesn't matter about the result on Saturday. So, I mean, you'd assume it wouldn't be worth taking any risks with any players. The likes of Lyle Taylor were even mentioned there, who, of course, is a massive player for us. But at the same time, with the Igor injury last week, Bowyer said he played him because he didn't want to risk him getting too much out of match fitness. So it'd be interesting to see which way he goes for some of those sort of bigger players this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, from what obviously Bowser said, it wouldn't surprise me if he might go Igor and Josh. Again, I think if there's any doubt whatsoever with Lyle, there's no way in this world I would risk him. The other players, you know, maybe, but I think if Lyle doesn't play, for me, I don't think we're going to score many goals, and I don't think we'll win. So I think I'd wrap him up in cotton wool. If that means he misses, or he plays half hour for the Rochdale game, then so be it. That's what I'd rather. Parker's not had many minutes against his former club. You give it a go. So yeah, I mean, and same for sort of Pat. Really, I'd say the same. Even though we've got Piercy, I don't want Pat to be missing for the big games in the playoffs, and then having to play two left-sided centre-halves, because we know how unbalanced we were when that came in. So, yeah, I mean, I think if they're 90%, then he will. But I think if there's any risk whatsoever, I don't think he'll play him, I agree.
So, in that case, Tom, how do you line up the likes? So, Lyle Taylor, for example, happy to go with a partnership of Vetticelli and Parker? He does need some minutes, Josh Parker, if we are, for whatever reason, going to have to call upon him in the playoffs, we can't have him as rusty as he's been so far.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I agree. And I think you probably do have to start him. I'm not expecting anything particularly special, but like Nath, I just don't think it's worth the risk. And as I say, we burnt out towards the end of last season, and I don't think we're in danger of doing that now. But if you play players who are half fit, same with Jake and Lewis, just don't do it. Just rest and make sure they're fit and ready, because as Bo said in his press conference, we've potentially got 5 games left. And they're going to come, you know, fairly quick succession, particularly those potentially 3 playoff games. So we just got to be careful, manage the squad, give the likes of Albie, who I thought was impressive the other day, George, Josh, why not play them and see what happens? Because we're not going to drop out of the playoffs now. As I say, I don't think you should be manufacturing where you finish in the four just to play a certain team, because you can't predict that. So if we end up struggling a little bit because of our goal threat, because we've rested Lyle, then so be it. If it means he's ready for Portsmouth or Sunderland or whoever we play, then that's the way round I'd do it.
Jules have only won 2 in their last 6, but luckily for them, 1 was against Wimbledon, 1 was against Plymouth. That's given them just about enough now. They are safe, if it, again, other than a goal difference disaster, they are safe now. So they can just go into this, what is of course their cup final, with a clear head and just worry only about trying to beat the mighty Cholton, who are travelling down to what essentially is the third world.
Yeah.
No offence to any expats who live in Gillingham and listen to the show.
Yeah,
it's a joke.
I mean, they're, like you say, they're safe. They've got nothing to lose. There's no pressure. There's no pressure on us. So it could turn out to be a boring 0-0. But you know, we don't really care, to be honest. I mean, I agree with Tom. I'd play. I'd make wholesale changes. I'd probably play Prattley, Ariba, Prattley, Lapsley, and Albie. I'd play them 3. I'd just give them a run out, you know.
Just 3 players.
No, and then the other one, probably Ben Reeves or something.
Yeah, so just 4 players. I'd play 11, definitely.
No, just 4, mate. We still beat them. 4 behind a bus or right. A caravan, rather.
Yeah, right. We've run out of time here on Charlton Live, the big match preview. Thank you for listening. My voice has just about got the whole way through. I think I only dropped out once. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Tom and Nate, thanks for coming in.
Cheers, boys.
Mate. I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live, the big match preview. We'll be back here on Sunday, hopefully, if I survive, with my voice to talk about whatever happens at the game against Gillingham. We look forward to seeing you then. See you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.